Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, Tim, to Kudzu Vine on Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, David. How are you?
Oh, doing well. Other than little technical difficulties, they wouldn't let me into my own show. You got in before me, according to the control panel, but everything's good. We've got a big show. We're going to have Amy Morton from Georgia Women Vote come on and tell us about Macon politics and a big political event with Elizabeth Edwards. We're going to have James Marlowe come back and do the interview that he couldn't get to last week. He had a church service in the district, and you know we're all about helping candidates win, and we know they got to meet voters in their district, not talk to guys outside of the district, first and foremost meeting those people. And then we'll have John Flack of Tondi's Tavern come on and tell us about the rally for the people. And of course, Bernita will be in soon, too. But before everything gets going, I thought we might just cover a few issues of the week, and it has been a big week. I guess for starters, if you're a Democrat, you had long been awaiting the executive director selection, and that was made.
Yes, it was. Matt Wyatt, I hope I pronounced his name correctly. He is about to take over as the new executive director. He is from Georgia, and he has a very long resume, both in local, state, and federal politics, Dave.
Well, he is from Georgia. He's going to start on June the 11th, and he worked for Jim Martin and Shirley Franklin. I think he went over and out working in California in some campaigns, too. So I don't know that he has a deep, deep resume, but his candidates are certainly come with some pedigree. And from what I've been told, he is a taskmaster as far as, like, when you give him a task, he accomplishes that. And I think in any industry, particularly in politics, though, that is a good skill to have.
Well, he actually does have a pretty good resume, though. He worked for Shirley Franklin when she first ran for mayor 6 years ago. He worked in Jim Martin's campaign last year. As you mentioned, he has done some grassroots work out in California, and he's also done some work for the Democratic National Committee. Being from Georgia and being a graduate of the school system here, I believe he went to Emory University. He understands this state, and we wish him well.
Oh, certainly. I'm hoping we can meet him in some form or capacity in the near future. I think he is, like I said, from Georgia, but right now he's out in California until he gets affairs back in order to come back and start on June 11th. I believe we have Bernita with us.
Yes, you do.
All right, Bernita. We were just talking about Matt. I know you know about what we're going to have on the show. It's been put on across the internet. You helped us out with promotion. So we got a big lineup of guests, but until then, we're going to try to cover as many issues as we can. But the new ED, what are your thoughts on that?
I think it's a great thing. Matt's a really good guy. I think it's going to move the party forward completely.
Yeah, and he comes in with energy, and that's important.
Yeah, and he knows the state, and he's worked on campaigns before, and he knows, you know, all the players. And I think he has some great ideas that he'll bring forth. And I think he'll be able to connect to the grassroots community, to basically every community.
Yes, I think the fact that he has more in-town roots, he'll certainly be able to connect in, to some of the inside the perimeter groups very quickly, which are one of the big driving forces of the party.
Yeah, and I know he doesn't have a problem getting out and hitting the road and, you know, being able to develop a good plan that includes, you know, all parts of Georgia, too.
Certainly. Well, and then we have that happen by midweek, Wednesday, Thursday. Then on the heels of that, yesterday it really hit in a big way. I mean, it may have been out there in some form or fashion before that, but we have another U.S. Senate candidate, and a U.S. Senate candidate with some name recognition in some circles.
Oh, yeah, Dale Caldwell.
Yeah.
Former WSB reporter. Yeah, the folks in the state know him well.
Yes, I mean, I know WSB covers at least 60% of the households in Georgia. It's not just Atlanta, even though it's Atlanta TV station, because you'll go well outside of the Atlanta area, even to the south, and WSB will be the WSB affiliate. If I'm not mistaken, as far as Waycross, where my great-grandmother lived, you would go and see WSB TV, but you'd get like a Macon channel or a Valdosta channel or Jacksonville, Florida channel for some other ones, but your ABC affiliate was WSB, so that shows how big of a reach that person has going into this race.
And the thing you got to remember here, we got to go back to a couple of weeks ago when Matt Towery did the polling as to see where Saxby Chambliss now stands. And you got to wonder if the floodgates aren't going to open a little bit and we get a pretty crowded field of Democratic candidates seeking a nomination that suddenly might be worth having, and all eyes turn south toward Representative Marshall to see what he's going to do.
Well, I will say this, if Del Cardwell can come out of the gate strong, maybe any person that felt pressure just to show the Democratic flag to put up a credible candidate won't feel that pressure anymore. I remember in 1998 when we had trouble recruiting a candidate to run against Paul Coverdale, Representative Lewis said, look, if nobody's going to step forward, I will. And he basically may have been giving up his seat at that time, which would have been a horrible thing to do, but he felt that strong about the Democratic Party showing their flag. Maybe we won't get in that type of situation. Well, Amy Martin, our first guest, has joined us.
I think we'll have another candidate, I believe, that's going to announce this week, too.
Wow, you may tell us a little more in a second, but I want to have Amy come on. Hi, Amy, how you doing? Amy, you with us? I've logged her in on the database, but something happened with the connection. Maybe she'll jump back in with us to tell us about Macon politics. Well, Bernita, you were saying that you know of another candidate. Can you tell us much about that?
Not much. I believe he's going to announce this week
okay.
that he's going to run for U.S. Senate. He's younger, and I think he has a big technical background.
Okay. Well, we'll just
but it
look.
Should be. I think we'll be able to offer something for everyone in that race.
Certainly. Well, we'll keep our eyes on that. Amy, you're with us now.
Hi, I am.
Yes, I saw you jumped in and jumped out, but you're here with us, so we're going to hear about Macon politics and the Elizabeth Edwards event.
Sure.
So she's coming to town on Tuesday. Tell us what you can about that event.
She will be here for a fundraiser on Tuesday. We are excited that she's coming to Middle Georgia, and she's just a spectacular woman, and I'm so proud of the work that she's doing, and also certainly Senator Edwards' message and what the substantive positions that he's been able to take on so many important issues like Iraq and health care and poverty and things that I care deeply about, as I'm sure many Democrats in Georgia do.
Yes. So this is, the second or third event that the Edwards campaign will have done in Macon?
This would be the second time this cycle that one of the principals of the campaign has been in Macon. Senator Edwards was here on April the 14th, and now Ms. Edwards will be coming into town. And, back in 2004, Senator Edwards was the only Democratic candidate who came to Middle Georgia. And he came just before the primary, brought Hootie and the Blowfish with him. We had a great time. It was a great event, and it's always nice for us who are not sort of inside the Beltway to feel that we're getting attention from the candidates as well.
Yes, I personally I live outside the Atlanta area, but I don't mind going down there. But I do think it's very hopeful when candidates see that this is a large state with a lot of significant cities and other places to meet Democrats besides just the Capitol.
It is, and I tell you, the votes both inside and outside Metro are going to be important in the primary and in the general election that will follow. I've been pleased to hear Senator Edwards both at the JJ dinner and other places talk about the fact that if he is the nominee, then he intends to run to win in Georgia. And I've got to tell you, that's having those kinds of resources in the state during an election cycle is very important. I know I worked hard, supported Senator Edwards initially, and then worked hard on Senator Kerry and Edwards' campaign back in 2004, and there were not a whole lot of resources in the state, as you probably remember.
Yes.
But if we have a Democratic nominee who invest in Georgia, and he's been very specific to say not just that he doesn't just mean that he will run to win in Atlanta, but that he will run to win in all of Georgia. I think that's important.
Okay. Well, tell us the specifics. If somebody wanted to come Tuesday, they were in Middle Georgia, and wanted to come to the event, what would be the specifics, and how could they find out more?
Well, I'll tell you what. I have it posted over on Georgia Women Vote. It's at 5:30 on Tuesday. There's an RSVP link that you can click, and it will take you to the information. But I'll post it on Tondi's Tavern this evening as well. How about that?
Excellent.
And that way it'll be right beside this cast, and so people can get the information and view the invitation and look at the host list, which is diverse and impressive, I think.
Yes, I know for the other event it had an expansive list as well. Well, you're down there in Macon, and Macon has kind of become the center of Georgia politics in just the last few weeks, because it seems like they've got the most excitement going on with the mayor's races and the mayor's race and the city council races. Tell us what you can about the mayor's race.
Well, you know, we have a sort of an unusual situation in Macon. I didn't realize it, but according to the Telegraph, we are the only municipality in Georgia with partisan races in our city council and mayor's race. I'm not sure that's accurate. I'm quoting the Telegraph now. Okay, so they're often accurate, but most often accurate. But therefore, we have a primary and a general election to look at. The mayor's race has drawn some very impressive candidates who have significant credentials. Anita Ponder, who's president of city council, is running for mayor. Lance Randall, who has a background in economic development and his, you know, I can't move away from the family connections there either. His sister Nikki is in the state legislature as a representative and vice chair of the caucus, and his father is a judge locally. This family has a long history, both in terms of public service and in activism in the community support. Thelma Dillard is running for mayor, and she is an educator who has served herself in elected positions, I believe, that she was on city council. She has been very active in the civil rights movement and was past president, I believe, of the NAACP chapter here in Middle Georgia. We also have Henry Fickling, who has announced that he's going to run. And he is on city council now. He's an educator. He is also a minister, I believe. And he is, I believe, currently chair of the Appropriations Committee on city council. So he has a lot of expertise. In addition, Robert Rickert, who is a local attorney, also served in the state legislature, is running. And, of course, the big news out of Macon is who's not running, and that would be Senator Robert Brown, who has announced that there had been a lot of speculation that he would run, but announced on Friday that he, in fact, is going to remain in the Senate.
Yes, and if my understanding is correct, had Senator Brown run, he would have made the runoff and was kind of the odds-on favorite to win the Democratic nomination and from there the mayor's seat.
Well, I think so. I think that he or any candidate he might choose to get behind has an advantage, because I don't know anyone who can run GOTV as well as Robert Brown can, and that's just the fact. And, you know, in a summer primary that will probably end up in a runoff, that factor is going to be huge. And so should he choose to support one of the other candidates, I think that would also be certainly an advantage to them. We deal in this community, as we do in many communities, with a very painful, divisive racial divide that colors a lot of our politics and public policy and a lot of other things. And there are individuals, many of whom are in this race for mayor, who have worked hard to try to bridge those gaps. I am beginning to be optimistic that this race may be one that helps bridge those gaps as opposed to further them.
That will be good. Well, just kind of a final question on the mayor's race. With Robert Brown getting out, who does that help or hurt?
Well, I think it helps Robert Rickert. And he, you know, I think that he is probably – looking at making it into a runoff, I would not hazard a guess about who the other person in that runoff will be. I think it could be literally any of the other candidates, with probably Ponder and Randall being at the top of that list, but it could really be any of them. Whoever wins the Democratic nomination ultimately will become mayor of Macon. I'll go ahead and make that prediction. Short
good
of
to hear.
Yeah, it's we have the city of Macon voted for John Kerry. Over 60% of the city voted for John Kerry, and actually Macon, Bibb County, Kerry carried Bibb County as well. So we have strayed some in recent elections. Bibb County voted for Purdue last time, just barely. But he voted for Purdue, and we have a Republican County Commission chair, and some other races we have sort of slipped by the wayside. But on the whole, we've often been a community that votes for Democrats.
That's excellent. Well, just a final question. Which one of the city council races is key?
Well, I think they're all key because the city's facing so many difficult problems. But, of course, the one that's probably the most interesting is the race, which I think right now will be between Brenda Yumas, who's currently on council, Rick Hutto, who's currently on council, and Keith Moffitt, who is not currently elected but ran for the school board and lost two cycles ago. He has a background in economic development, works for Georgia Department of Economic Development, as a matter of fact, which, of course, is key to our city. So we have two sitting councilmen running against each other and a third party.
Yes.
Race. And so it's going to be a very interesting one to watch. I think that any of them, again, could win potentially that race. So I'm already seeing signs out for all of these races. And, of course, my friend Lauren Benedict is running for a citywide slot on council and will qualify this week, and she has garnered some pretty significant endorsements over the last few days, and I expect we'll do a press release about that shortly.
That's good to hear. Well, Amy, we'd like to have you back as the race unfolds. Maybe just before primary, you can give us an update on how the Macon race is progressing.
Be happy to.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you for having me.
I'm glad to.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. Hi, Mr. Marlowe.
Hello, good afternoon.
Yes, good to have you on the show.
Great.
Yeah. Well, how's the race going so far?
Yeah, things are going really, really well. Our campaign is off to a great start, and we pick up momentum every day.
That's great to hear. What kind of going back? What prompted you to run for the congressional seat?
Well, you know, it's actually something that I do feel a calling about, and I've been looking at this race literally for 20 years. I had worked with Congressman Doug Bernard in Washington, and my dad was a small town mayor there in Lincolnton. And I've just been involved in a bunch of statewide campaigns. And when I was with IBM, I did a state and local project. So just have a good bit of, you know, kind of interest and, you know, passion for this area.
Yes. Now, what do you feel special about the 10th District and Lincolnton and the area you're from?
Well, you know, it's just home. You know, my family's been in Lincolnton since the American Revolution. And, of course, growing up there. And then I went to Georgia Southern, but I started my business career in Augusta, Georgia. And just, you know, lived around the 10th District my whole life.
Excellent. So somebody with some roots, and that's always important. What do you see as some of the key issues in the 10th Congressional race?
Well, the top issue in this race is certainly the war in Iraq. The other issues that we're focused deeply on around health care, around energy independence, around education, around quality development and the creation of quality jobs in the 10th District.
Yes, and I know one of your opponents said Iraq is not a big issue in the 10th District. What do you make of that?
Well, unlike Mr. Whitehead, I think the war is a very big deal for every American, for every Georgian, and certainly for everybody in the 10th District. I think his remark was actually disrespectful to the troops that are doing everything they can.
Yes, and I noticed on Meet the Press this morning some of the Republican strategists on a national level, they were trying to downplay the war. Mary Madeline, she was, oh, well, you know, there's other things besides the war. This apparently is a national strategy the GOP seems to be using.
Well, the war in Iraq is certainly a tough issue for every American. We've got to defend America. We've got to strike our enemies both here and abroad when necessary. We need to support our troops. We need to honor our troops. And to me, that means taking care of them when they come home wounded. It means to give them the equipment and armor and shielding that they need when they're in the battlefield, to not put them in the wrong place at the wrong time and the wrong numbers. I mean, the situation in Iraq is we were searching for weapons of mass destruction. We weren't able to locate any. We've removed Saddam Hussein from power. We've established a democracy. And now it's time for the Iraqi people to do their job. What they said in the last few weeks is that they actually plan to take off 2 months this summer.
My. Well, and another issue that in the district, you had mentioned internet taxes recently, and you had a proposal on that. Tell us more about the issue and why you feel strongly about it.
I'm sorry, what was the question?
The internet taxes. You had had a proposal recently on it. Why do you feel so strongly about that issue, and just tell us more about your internet tax proposal?
Well, actually, I'm not really sure what you're referring to. I mean, I'm in favor of open access to the internet. So we had had some discussions around that. I mean, certainly every company, every individual should have open access to the internet.
Yes.
But I haven't really been talking about any internet taxes per se.
Okay. Another issue that you mentioned was domestically was the healthcare system. What do you feel is the best way to improve the American healthcare system?
Well, I'd like to see us honor Congressman Norwood. Let's pass the Patient's Bill of Rights. Let's fully fund Peach Care so that we can take care of the 285,000 children of working families in Georgia. Let's work, and I'll guarantee you that I'll work as a congressman to be sure that every child in America has access to quality health care. If a child is sick and they need to go to the doctor, they should be able to do so. And we want them to be able to go in a preventative fashion. We don't want to send kids to the emergency room unnecessarily. Let's not make a $50 well child visit into a $1,500 trip to the emergency room. We need to do more for breast cancer research. We need to do more for cancer research in general. Another thing I'd like to see a lot more work on is medical information system. If we had an automated system for record keeping, we could get people in and out of the healthcare delivery system with more efficiency, with fewer errors, and actually lower cost. We'd also be able to keep track and study diseases like juvenile diabetes or breast cancer. So right now, we don't really know what's working nationally or not work, so we can't really continue to invest properly, kind of based on a lack of information.
I have a question.
Bernita, do you have a question?
Yes.
Yes.
We talk a lot about the Iraq war and pulling our troops out, but as, you know, our possible next congressman, what are your plans after Iraq war? Like, what are your tactics where this country should be going?
Well, I think one of the key issues for America is to become energy independent. Right now, we can't have national security and we can't have economic security without energy independence.
Is it a diplomacy angle that you're about, or is it more a military strategy after the Iraq war? Future engagements we have with other countries?
Several things. I recommend that we take the advice of the Iraq Study Group, which was a bipartisan group led by former Secretary of State James Baker and Lee Hamilton. And what the Iraq Study Group recommended in December was that we have a staged withdrawal from Iraq, that we create hard objectives and milestones for the Iraqi politicians and the Iraqi government, and that we have a serious diplomatic offensive. We need to be talking with everyone in the Middle East, but you know, my suggestion around energy independence, that until we take the money out of the Middle East in the form of $70 a barrel oil prices, we're not going to stop terrorism. I mean, we're really funding both sides of the war right now. When I fill up with gas, the other day in Athens, it was $3.19 a gallon, and we're paying that money to people that are shooting at us. So, I mean, there's definitely things that we need to do. And, you know, to me, a mission to the moon type project or a Manhattan type project to become energy independent in 25 years or less would be strategic initiative for America.
I guess I'm trying to get outside of Iraq. Our future dealings with other countries is really the question. It's not about Iraq. It's about how does America go forth in dealing with other countries.
Well, I think we need to rebuild our image across the world. Former Secretary of State James Baker said that when he was Secretary of State that America was beloved across the globe. And here we are just a few short years later, and we've got a crisis rotation across the globe. So we're going to have to invest in the State Department to rebuild our embassies, to rebuild our presence abroad, and let people know what Americans really are about. You know, that we're, you know, we are about truth, justice, and the American way, and that, you know, right now our reputation is very tarnished due to the actions of the Bush administration.
So with that in mind, you support a more diplomatic based on our relations or more military strategy?
Well, I think we need to use certainly diplomacy. I mean, a serious diplomatic initiative across the globe. I mean, even nations that might be our enemies or might not be friendly to us, we still should have a diplomatic initiative with them. We need a strong military presence, you know, in order to back up what we're talking about. So I'm not at all in favor of having a weak position on defense, but certainly diplomacy is an important tool in our arsenal.
Okay, thank you.
Yes. Well, getting back just kind of the campaign, it seems like so far on the Republican side, the campaign's been make controversial statements, see how tough you can possibly become on immigration, almost with a little bit of a, you know, racial tilt to it, and fist fight, have your campaign staffers fist fight with each other. What do you make of some of the Republican tactics thus far?
Well, this race is between James Marlowe and Jim Whitehead, and, you know, what we want to do is clearly contrast the differences in our issues and in what we're doing, and once again, I think we're the common sense in the room. You know, when I think even Republicans look at our campaign, they're going to see that I'm a fiscal conservative, that I'm a pro-business, pro-quality job creation Democrat, and they're going to have a lot of interest and support for our campaign. But there's quite a bit of kookiness on the Republican side.
Yes. Well, how do you feel? I noticed you've reached out a lot to the Netroots. How do you feel online activism has impacted your campaign?
Well, I think it's a huge trend in American politics and citizen journalism and blogs. I mean, you know, every aspect of the Internet is having an impact. This Internet thing is not going away. I just spent the last 6 years working with Yahoo and, you know quite a bit about Internet usage on a global basis, but people spend more time on the Internet every day. They get more of their information and news on the Internet, and blogs and citizen journalism, you know, has an important role to play in that.
Yeah. Now, if a supporter wanted to come help you for the last few weeks of the campaign before the initial vote on the 19th, what could they do?
Well, there's a lot. I mean, the first step in that is going to our website, which is www.jamesmarlowe.com, and that's MARLOW.com. We need contributions. We need for people to help us with canvassing. We need people to do phone banking. We need people to put up yard signs. You know, we need every aspect of campaigning. And, you know, we've been getting a warm response wherever we go, and we've got a large number of volunteers across the 10th District.
That's excellent. Well, I know the DPG did just a canvas on Saturday for Democratic candidates in general because, of course, they can't take sides. And I know that there's going to be more efforts both for your campaign and just the Democratic Party in general. So hopefully folks can get involved. It's it's kind of the only game in town, that and the Senate seat that opened up with Jim Whitehead vacated to run for Congress. So we can just take a little drive over to East Georgia and help support y'all.
Well, we find that Democrats across the 10th District and beyond are really energized about this race. I mean, we've got a strong campaign. You know, I happen to be a pretty terrific candidate, you know. They always say it's a sorry dog won't wag its own tail. So, you know, we do have a great campaign here, and people are energized and getting involved in it.
Yes. And somebody put the 10th Congressional Chair brought up on our show in the past that he felt Sonny Perdue held the election during the summer while UGA, which is such a big part of the 10th District, wouldn't be in session to hold down support for you. What do you make of that?
Well, I think they play politics in every stage of this, and, you know, we've got a campaign that's going to do well regardless of when they do it. I mean, I think anyone takes a look at my campaign and they look at me as a candidate and they listen even for a few minutes, I think they're going to find that I'm a very credible person to send to Washington, and they're going to be interested in getting involved in the campaign.
Excellent. Well, thank you for coming on with us, Mr. Marlowe.
Oh, it's been my pleasure. I enjoyed talking with you.
Yes, and as the campaign progresses, if we get in a runoff situation, which I think that's everyone's hope, unless somehow you could win 50+1 on the first vote, you're welcome to come back to the Kudzu Vine and tell us what you need to.
Well, I'd like to be back with you very soon.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Well, Bernita and Tim, we've already had a busy half hour. I guess before we go back to our other topics and get John Flight to call on in, any reflections on the two interviews we had?
You know, I was thinking that a lot has been made of the verbal gaffes, of course, by Senator Whitehead. The media, which earlier had listed this race as DOA, just had it over. Now they're all of a sudden saying it's surely going to be a runoff. That race has shifted, David, and it shifted toward the man we were just talking to.
Yes. The one thing I do hope that people realize is fundraising is a huge issue, and more fundraising needs to happen because I believe Whitehead raked in a lot of early funds, and all the rest of the candidates may not have the same equal funding. So definitely while we have the momentum and drive on our side, we need to have a little money with it to put behind his name so he can do all the campaign activities he needs to.
Absolutely, and I hope the DCCC is keeping their eyes on this race as well. We'd really love for them to jump in this runoff. They could make a big difference, especially with that money we were just talking about.
Certainly. I think if they don't get involved in the first round, they must get involved in the second round. Because I guess you're talking about the Sabato article had all the possible special elections listed, and the 10th was the first one. And really, the most swingable of the districts was the 10th, and if a fella out in Missouri takes a college president job, there's a district very much like the 10th out in Missouri. Those are the only ones that will move. Either the seats are very Democratic or very Republican outside of ours in Missouri.
Right. And you know what we're going to see with this runoff is national attention suddenly focused on this race as a result of that.
And that's good for us. Bernita, any thoughts on the interviews?
No, I think Tim pretty much covered it for me.
Yes.
That's what we're interested in.
Yes, and the making, and talking about making politics, I really just believe we started to scratch the surface there. It sounds like it's kind of a change year in making where, you know, they don't have an incumbent running. They don't have just a chosen successor to someone. It looks like it'll be a shift in direction in Macon no matter which way it goes.
Well, hopefully that shift will be about, you know, bridging the problems in Macon.
Yes, I know, you know, one of the symbolic things that we saw up here in Rome is just during Jack Ellis's term, they lost their minor league baseball team. Well, that's just kind of a extra thing.
They had a lot of economic problems under Jack. I mean, between that, the tobacco plant closing, they lost a lot of union employees down in the Macon area.
Yes, and Macon's, you know, it's right there on the interstate. It's not that far south of Atlanta. It's a place that shouldn't have, you know, started to lose jobs the way it did.
Yeah, I think that's a combination of bad management and bad relationships.
And so hopefully,
and not investing into the human infrastructure.
Yes, and hopefully some of that can come back because, I mean, it's really our cities outside of Atlanta definitely need to stay vibrant and growing because that's how the state is going to grow in a much more even manner than if it's all just in one area of the state. Well, getting back to some of our topics, we were discussing the U.S. Senate race and the entry into the race by Del Cardwell. An investigative reporter, seeing that that's someone that's kind of like the watchdog that looks out for the people, I see that, you know, he may have made enemies in places, which in a lot of cases may be people that are, you know, need to be made enemies of. And then, but that's also somebody that's tough and is going to have a reputation with voters that see him as someone that's going to stand up for the people.
I think his whole plan is to run on a anti-corruption.
Yes, and that's a, you know, that, and when you're looking at the Republican Congress and Senate, that's not a bad place to start because corruption is something that they have quite a handle on.
What he is, though, David, is a known commodity. You mentioned the statistics on WSB's viewership in this state. the average voter is going to recognize this man's name. It's going to be a great source of help to him in his campaign.
Yes. Well, I believe we have John Flack on with us to tell us about the Rally for the People. John, you there?
Hey, Dave. How are you?
Oh, doing well. Hope you are. You're on with Tim and Bernita as well.
Well, we're all just living in Bernita's world, so just happy to be here.
Yes. Well, you got the Rally for the People coming up. Give us the specifics on that.
The rally is next week, a week from today, next Sunday. It's the
yes.
For the Rally People, and we'll be For the People Rally, and we'll be at the Georgia Mountain Center in Gainesville. The easiest way for folks to get information just right from the start is to go to www.forthepeoplerally.com. It's become an annual affair for North Georgia Democrats to get together and kind of prove that we're alive and we're ready to fight.
Yes. Well, tell us about how it got started.
Well, this is the second year that we've done an event at the Mountain Center. Bob Barton, who is now the 9th Congressional Chair, Congressional District Chair for the State Party, was really the brain, kind of the brain or the visionary behind the thought that in the 9th District, in the 10th District, across North Georgia, county parties should band together and have large rallies and call them For the People rallies. So now you see them manifest in different places throughout North Georgia. Recently, there was a For the People rally up in Blue Ridge that had tremendous turnout. What we decided to do was every year kind of have a mega rally where all 25, 30, 35 counties that constitute the 9th, the 10th, the 7th, the 11th, those folks would get together and have one big celebration at the Mountain Center. So this is the second year. Last year, we had a candidate rally. It was an election year. And we had just about every Democratic candidate that was running statewide, and then some candidates who were running in North Georgia. This year, it's a little different. There's not big elections other than the special election in the 10th. So we've got a little different feel to the rally, but we still think we have a tremendous lineup.
Yes. Well, tell us some of the highlights on the lineup.
Sure. Jane Kidd, chair of the Democratic Party of Georgia, will be emceeing the event. And, of course, we're going to have your guest from a few minutes ago, James Marlowe, there to address North Georgia Democrats on the 10th congressional race. We've also asked Denise Freeman to join us as well. This year, Tommy Irvin, who, of course, is a commissioner of agriculture, is going to introduce what we think is going to be a tremendous presentation by Colonel Ben Purcell. Ben Purcell is a Vietnam veteran and former prisoner of war, was actually in the Hanoi Hilton longer than John McCain. And he's going to come this year, address the North Georgia Democrats, and talk about how Democrats take care of the troops and how we really support the troops over the Republican Party that sends them to war ill-equipped, brings them home, and doesn't care for them. So I think we're going to have a very moving keynote address by Colonel Ben Purcell.
Yes, that does sound exciting, and I think that may be new to the program, if I'm not mistaken, is it?
Yeah, it's the planning. We had a planning meeting yesterday where we were able to kind of sit down and hammer out some of the more specific, you know, speakers, so I'm able to share that with you.
That's excellent. We always like exclusives on the Kudzu Vine. Well, I noticed you didn't mention that the presidential race is going on, and some of the presidential campaigns are going to pay y'all special attention.
That's right. We're having, as a part of the rally this year, we're also doing a preference straw poll. So there will be a straw poll as a part of the event. We've solicited all of the presidential campaigns to participate. The reactions have been mixed. For example, we expect there to be some campaigns that will send a surrogate speaker. So a couple of the campaigns, at this point, we don't know exactly because they love to keep you hanging to the last minute, but we expect a surrogate speaker for Senator Edwards and for Senator Clinton. We have personalized video addresses from Barack Obama and from Governor Richardson. We will try, the planning committee is trying to get some things pulled together for some of the other candidates that are not in that top tier, so to speak. So the net effect is that we'll have video presentations at least for all of the candidates, and in some cases some of the candidates will be sending surrogates to speak on their behalf. We'll have a straw poll. We'll tally the votes, and we'll see. We'll get an early, I think, key look into the candidate strength in North Georgia at the grassroots level with the presidential campaign.
Yes, I mean, I don't know that your results will get picked up, you know, larger than just the Georgia blogosphere, but I would hope they would, because I think that would be a decent indication of how the hardcore support is going for the presidential race in Georgia.
Well, and something that I've mentioned to many people is that I think that these candidates ignore us at their peril. What we'll basically have is 25 or 30 North Georgia Democratic County parties in attendance. And the folks that are going to be in this rally are folks who are plugged into the party. They're the folks that support candidates. They're the real grassroots folks that pay attention and do stuff. And to have them together at one place, at one time, with open ears, seems to me to be a tremendous opportunity for these candidates. To the extent that they take care of it and show up or engage the grassroots community in North Georgia, I think that that's going to tell a story at the end of Sunday.
Yeah.
Is there a fee?
What?
Is there a fee to attend this event?
No, the For the People rally is free. We ask you to throw us $5 at the door in terms of a donation to the effort to kind of help us offset the costs. But we're asking you to come.
Yes, and I know a lot of people come from outside of that, you know, 20-some-odd county region.
You betcha. I mean, we use the term North Georgia Democrat fairly liberally. So someone from Macon or someone down from Savannah wants to drive up, they can gladly be a North Georgia Democrat for a day.
Can someone from Atlanta be a North Georgia Democrat for the day?
Well, I think you're going to be there, right?
Still debating.
but obviously, I mean, just in a true geographic sense, Atlanta is in the north half of the Georgia state of Georgia, like back when they used to have the old North and South football champions to play each other for the state championship. The metro Atlanta area was always in the north.
Yeah, that's right. I think that, you know, generally the feedback that folks get, people who have attended, is they say, we walk into the hall and it's like a convention-style atmosphere. If you can imagine, the Mountain Center is a very large indoor facility. We'll have a ton of tables out there, and we'll have large poles throughout the entire arena with county names on it. And we basically draw the line from Highway 20, Interstate 20 North. So you'll see a lot of county polls up that you might not on a daily basis think of as a North Georgia county, but we include them in the effort. The more the merrier.
Yeah. John, we're all fine. Oh, go ahead, Bernita.
What constituent groups are coming will be involved in it also?
Tim?
Did we lose someone there?
I think we lost John.
Oh, goodness. Well, maybe he's going to call right back.
We did.
I think his connection sounded weak at times, but I think it's going to be a real exciting event for the People Rally. I'm going to let him back in here if he calls on in. But I know that he said he'll come on back next week and tell us how the event went.
Yeah, there should be a live – actually, they're going to do live broadcasting.
Yes, I mean, there'll be blog reports. There'll be
there's going to be a live streaming.
Yes, well, maybe he can tell us more about that.
So
I know there's going to be a lot of
coverage. That's going to be really cool.
All kind of pictures, but then also it's good from the for the person that's kind of hosting or coordinating the event to give us his perspective as well. John, we lost you there for a second.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, I could kind of tell.
Must be that old BlackBerry or something.
Well, you know. Well, I tell you what, I know you guys are real tight on time, so let me just cover a quick couple of things. Bernita, some of the interest groups for the party, some of our constituent groups, we're looking to have Tim Carroll, who's the new executive director of the Georgia YDs, Young Democrats, will be there to address the rally. We also expect Kyle Bailey from the Stonewall Democrats to say a few words. I would be remiss if I didn't mention three what we think are real great guest speakers that we're also going to have on hand, and that is Reverend Jim Nelson, who, of course, ran for Congress down in Savannah in 06, Carol Jackson, former state senator, North Georgia, and Wyke Orr, Gainesville attorney and former state house rep. So just a few more speakers. We've got a pretty packed program. We're glad to have all of them. And I think right when I got back in, I heard you guys say we're going to stream it. It will be.
Yeah, we're talking about your new media opportunity.
That's right. It will be streamed over the Internet via Ustream.tv. We'll have the details out on that in the next couple of days. So folks down in South or Middle Georgia that can't make the drive up to Gainesville, if they've got a good connection at home, they can dial it up on broadband and watch the event from their house. We're real excited about that.
Yeah, so we'll
that would definitely bring in a lot of Democrats and just, you know, make them feel more included in the process.
Yes, and then, of course, we hope you come back next week. Give us a report on the event and also the results of the straw poll. I know people will watch it live, see it. You'll probably have it posted on Tondi's Tavern and other places, but with like a audio synopsis from yourself.
Absolutely. I'd be glad to come back.
Sounds great. Well, John, thanks for having us, being with us. Well, I guess we just have just a few more minutes, and it's just such a large week. We needed more time this week, but we promised the people one of those innovative segments that the kudzu vine has become known for. So why don't we have our good, bad, and ugly. Tim, you want to start us off with a good, a bad, and ugly?
Sure. My good has got to be this. The minimum wage has been increased for the first time in 11 years. Buddy, it's about time. The bad is this illegal immigration debate. It seems to be going nowhere fast. And the president's remarks earlier this week in our own state didn't help matters any. And my ugly is this mess between the governor and the legislature is not really settled. Next year, let's look for some more fireworks when the legislature convenes again.
Bernita, what do you have for us?
Let's see. My good is all the Democratic activity going around in our state, which is always good, getting a new ED, both at the Young Democrats and at the Democratic Party of Georgia. I think that's really good for us. And my bad is, what is my bad? I tell you my ugly is Perdue slashing. His vetoes was definitely mighty, mighty ugly. When you really got into the details of the things that he cut and the just straight pissing matches he had, which, you know, really doesn't make that much of sense. As Tim says, we get into 2008, it's going to be pretty bad, but it's going to be pretty ugly. And I'm not sure, and once again, I think the Georgia citizens are the ones getting the short end of the stick while people prance around with large egos.
Absolutely. Well, my good is going to be James Marlowe and the way he's reached out to the Netroots. Still, this process is evolving, but he's been very welcoming to come on and do blogs, meet with blog communities, come on to our show, do an interview with John a while back when he first got in the race. So I think that's very good. The bad for me is the fact that CNN decided to host the Democratic debate against the kudzu vine. That means that lots of folks are probably just going to have to watch that debate on tape delay, but
that's
like
what I'm
we
doing.
Will. And then the ugly, I don't know if y'all read about Bob Schrum's book, which he really seemed to go after the Edwards, John Edwards personally in his campaign in some type of just ugly spitting match, we'll call it, to make sure our content stays friendly for everyone. It was just an ugly scene. I read about it a week or two ago. I sent it to y'all, said, hey, look at this thing. I just can't believe that a Democratic consultant that had worked for this man as both in his Senate campaign and his vice presidential campaign would result to this level, I think, just to create some buzz to sell some books. Well,
and that's what it was for.
It was for what?
That's what it was for.
Oh, exactly.
To sell books.
It was to sell books, and it was just shameless that he would do that because I don't think in a lot of circles Bob Schrum has the opinion of himself that he has of himself, and so sad he had to resort to this. We just had a few more issues I thought we might could cover before we could close out the show. I know I'd piqued some of y'all's interest with the wrestling school board member. Well, y'all may have remembered about a year ago, when it was qualifying time, a Rob Ricksteiner that was appointed the Cherokee County School Board He had a name problem. Well, he had given up wrestling as Rick Steiner, but he wanted to use that name, which he also sells real estate under, Rick Steiner. Well, he had been away from wrestling, but just this in the last 2 weeks, he's gone back to wrestling, TNA Wrestling's full-time schedule, while still serving on the Cherokee County School Board. I just think that's great. You know, the dog-faced gremlin that is known for fish-hooking his opponents. I mean, I hope they let him sit on student tribunals when a student does something really nasty to, you know, at school. You know, let the dog-faced gremlin after him. So that was the wrestling school board member. And then another big thing that was brought up, or, well, interesting, we'll say, is Cynthia McKinney is moving closer and closer to a presidential run as the Green Party nominee. What do y'all think of that?
I think it'll be interesting. I mean, she's a good campaigner.
Yes, so this will be a national level for her, not just half or most of one county in Georgia.
She's still a good campaigner. If she stays on the issues, I think she'll be a better. I think she can debate them on the issues.
Well, but you'd be assuming
she's not as stoic as the pack that we have going.
But you'd be assuming that she got led into a debate. I mean, typically it's the Democratic nominee, the Republican nominee, and a guy with, you know, $1 billion to his name. I don't know how the Green Party nominee gets in the presidential.
I don't know.
Debate. So
I'm not sure. But if, I think she'll make a lot of noise if she doesn't get in.
The Green Party candidate doesn't get into a presidential debate. David,
that would be my thought that they wouldn't. But Bernita's right. She could make a lot of noise because just given what happened the past election day with her, you know, staffers pushing down reporters and whatnot, that could she might have more wrestling moves than Rick Steiner has, or at least her crew might.
And she'll get some press coverage because she's Cynthia McKinney. Let's face it.
And there's a lot of people out there that's looking for a whole nother party.
Yeah.
Let's not discount that factor. There's a lot of people that aren't happy with Republican or Democrats.
Yes.
And the Independent Party hasn't been able to produce a very strong candidate.
But I know that's something that they mentioned on the national level more than it's been mentioned in the Georgia media for whatever reason. Well, Tim, before we get out of here, give us your outrage of the week.
Okay, Dave, a report by the Department of Energy listing the state-by-state carbon emissions pointed the finger directly at those states which burn coal to provide power. And wouldn't you just know that Wyoming, home to Dick Cheney, and Texas, home to our president, would be the two worst polluters? Wyoming's coal-fired plants produce more emissions in 8 hours than Vermont does in a year, and Vermont has more people. And Texas puts out more of this poison than the next two states combined, California and Pennsylvania, even though they cumulatively have twice its population. No wonder President Bush only recently began to pay belated lip service to the environmental movement with regard to global warming. He can't be part of the solution when he and his big business buddies from Texas have been the worst part of the problem. This is just another problem, too, that he's going to pass off to someone else in 19 months. In the meantime, this incompetent administration can add another issue to the list of things they've ignored. Unfortunately, doing nothing about this issue threatens the very existence of mankind. Just outrageous.
Another great outrage of the week. Although, Tim, there may be a correction there. You said Dick Cheney's home state of Wyoming. I don't know. Simple might debate you and say that he is a Texan, and they rightfully, under the Constitution, don't deserve those electoral votes.
Oh, but that couldn't be true, David, because the president and vice president can't be from the same state. And I'm winking at you when I say that.
Yeah, we need TV sometimes. Well, we just had too many topics to cover, and we got another big week next week. I know John will be back and give us a wrap-up of that day's rally for the people. And, Bernita, it sounds like you may be on site. If you are, you'll have to give us all you know as well. But then I'm still working on it. I haven't gotten confirmation, but look for it on Tondi's Tavern, the sidebar we've gotten put up. Also, through the work of Bernita, we've been put up at Blog for Democracy with a little link, the Georgia Podcast Network. The Kudzu Viner is really getting out there, but just look for the update on a special guest that may come in for a very special interview. And next week we're going to try to open it up for callers and encourage callers to come in. Also, our instant messaging program, we're going to really get that going. If you want instant messenger us, it's kudzuvinega@gmail.com through the Google Talk system. But another good show. Any more parting thoughts?
Mm-mm.
Okay, well, we're going to call that a wrap and see you next week on the Kudzu Vine. Good night.
Good night.